You're listening to Good News Community Radio 93.6 FM. My name is Nawa Potwana. Welcome and thank you for joining us this Sunday morning. Today we've got a guest in studio. Well, in studio because we're playing this now, but we are chatting to Emma from a house in Westville. I'm sure you can hear the lawnmowers in the background there and the birds as well. We can appreciate that. Emma, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me, Noah. It's great to chat to you.
So Emma is from Higher Ground, and a few years ago, I think in 2012, we did speak to Emma, and it was a telephonic conversation. We had a chat about Higher Ground, and we were telling people at home that there's an upcoming camp that they have to know about, and it's specifically for people who are living with the physical challenges, and particularly the blind or... before we go through what Higher Ground is about and the camps and so forth, tell us about you and the people who are living with disabilities, how you got involved in this society, so to say.
Well, my journey into what I do and how I got involved in this is sort of a bit of a convoluted one, but a couple of years out of school, I spent some time volunteering at an organization for people with acquired brain injuries, and that was Headway Natal in Westville, and I really, really enjoyed my time there and getting to know the people and working with them. So when I came to a point in my life where I was trying to decide what to do next, I met somebody who had worked at a summer camp in the USA. Mm. It was one specifically for people with disabilities, and I straight away knew that was what I wanted to do. So I applied and I got placed at a summer camp in Pennsylvania in the USA that was specifically for people with all types of different disabilities. So I spent a summer there back in 2001, and it was a life-changing experience. I saw things I'd never seen before, and I just saw the incredible impact that a camp can have on a person with a disability. After that summer, I started to think about how I could do something like that here in South Africa. In the meantime, I went back the following summer and worked there again. And I couldn't stay away, so I went back again the next summer. Mm. And it was honestly one of the most amazing times of my life. I met amazing people. I was hugely impacted just seeing what a summer camp can do for somebody with a disability. And so each time I would come back and I would think, goodness, I wish there was something I could do here similarly. And I could never find anything. And so after my third summer there, I got chatting to my now best friend, an American girl, and we decided, let's just do it. So she came out to South Africa, and we spent a year and a half establishing Higher Ground. I'm jumping the gun a bit here, but that is how I got into being involved and interested in people with disabilities.
I'm just thinking to myself as we're speaking now about a camp itself, that people are not keen to go out of their comfort zone in their home just to sleep in the trees or in the woods for the sake of appreciating nature. Well, maybe with a person that's having or living with a disability, it may be more difficult because, I mean, it's even difficult to go to offices for people with disabilities here in civilization. Mm-hmm. Did you not see that as an obstacle for you in the passion that you have? The fact that, you know, we're out there in the trees, it's even more inaccessible, so to say, for people with disabilities. How was that to realize that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, first of all, I found that it's caused a bit of confusion, the fact that because my context was summer camp in the States, it was called camp, we would always say, we're doing camp. And I began to realize that people's context here of thinking about camp is sleeping in a tent in the bush.
Yes.
Where in actual fact, we've started to change a bit and talk about holidays rather than camps, because we don't sleep in tents, other than every now and then maybe doing a one-night optional sleeping in a tent.
Yes.
But we actually tend to have very comfortable accommodation with indoor bathrooms, and we try to find places that are actually quite accessible.
Mm.
So it isn't actually this roughing it in the wild kind of thing.
Yeah.
Having said that, obviously we also want it to be an adventurous, fun experience, and so we don't just want to find, you know, the place that is absolutely comfortable and absolutely accessible, because those places don't tend to have great adventure activities. So sometimes there is an element of it's not the most accessible or just easy to access place. But then we try and put in small modifications that make it accessible. So for example, on our holiday for people who are blind and partially sighted, we get wooden stakes, we get rope, and we make a roped pathway, so that even if it is a bit the ground is a bit undulating or it's a little convoluted, people can quickly learn to navigate the environment themselves. And so we try and put in place those kind of things. We've just run our holiday for people with acquired brain injuries, and we used a venue where it was flat and where there were minimal steps. And so we really do have that in mind, making it a comfortable experience, because I think that I don't think it's terribly appealing, the idea of going away and now just spending your whole time trying to navigate the terrain. But at the same time, as I say, we try to make it adventurous. If there's a river, we'll do some canoeing, or on a lake, we'll do some abseiling or rock climbing if that's available at the venue. So we try to have a balance between being a little out there, trying new and challenging things, while still actually having a comfortable, lovely holiday.
So fast forward years later, you were founding Higher Ground. What did you have in mind, and why Higher Ground? What has it been? What's the meaning behind the word itself, Higher Ground?
Well, to be honest with you, the name Higher Ground, when we came up with that name, it wasn't that there was a specific sort of idea behind it. Obviously, I think for many people it's come to mean many different things. But we've never had something in particular that we're trying to say with that name. But it's come to mean a lot.
Yes, go on.
No, I've forgotten the first part of your question.
So I just wanted to find out what you had in mind when you were founding this organization.
Well, my idea was to start something like what I'd seen in the States. And so that is how we started out. And I would say we've kept a lot of that. However, it's also become a very South African, with a thing with our own flavor.
I just remember, speaking of flavor, in 2007 or 2008, we went to, I was part of this Higher Ground as well, camp. We went to a place, the Drakensberg Mountain, which is one South African destination as far as camping is concerned. What are the other places that you take people who are living with disabilities to, and tell us more about them?
Well, we have a whole lot of different venues that we've used over the years. When we began, we had one venue that we used quite a lot, which was in the Eston area, sort of towards the KZN Midlands. But we've used coastal places like Pennington. We've gone up to the Midlands to Nottingham Road. As you say, we've been in the Drakensberg. We do tend to try and find places that aren't too far from Durban. Obviously, especially with our holiday for people who are blind and partially sighted, we have people coming from all different parts of South Africa. So a lot of people are flying in and some busing in. And so we don't want people to have that whole lot of transport, and then they've got to travel a good few more hours to get to us. So we try to find places ideally within an hour, a maximum of maybe 2 hours from Durban. So be it inland, midland sort of way, but up or down the coast.
There's also an opportunity for children as well, or should I say scholars, or people who are still in high school. Tell us more about that, Ron.
Yes, so it has been a couple of years since we've run that program, but we were busy trying to implement it again, where we've done holidays specifically for teenagers who are blind or partially sighted. Obviously, it's a group of people at a formative stage in their lives, where we can reach them, and obviously that they can have a wonderful holiday. So there's that, and then we've actually also done some programs for tertiary students who are blind and partially sighted, which has also been really good. Again, it's not on our program at the moment, but we're hoping to implement it again soon.
If you just joined us, you're listening to 93.6 FM Good News Community Radio. We're speaking to Emma, and Higher Ground is organizing a camp just in a month's time. We're going to be chatting about that with Emma, and as well as the content, because they've got programs that or rather they do have a program within the camps themselves and the activities that they get up to, as well as the experiences she's had over the years. And of course, this program comes to you every Sunday morning, and as well a repeat on a Thursday. So Emma, there are always personal experiences that are coming out of the camps, people who come and report back to you, and I'm sure over the years one has been able to learn and grow from certain things that they're doing, or change this and that, to be able to make it more accessible and much a greater experience. And I see you've changed from using the word camp to a holiday. How much of awareness, or how would you say people, what's the turnout from people out there to Higher Ground camps throughout the years? Is it growing? Are people more interested, or you're seeing just a constant, people that you think already know about Higher Ground anyway?
Yeah, I would say that it is growing. One of the wonderful things that we found is that most people, or many people that have come time and again. Mm. So we've just finished, as I said, our holiday for people with an acquired brain injury. A lot of the people who were on that camp, or quite a few of the people that were on that camp, came on our very first one back in 2004. So they've been coming for 15 odd years, year after year. So there's a lot of people that come every single year, and especially with that group, it's a highlight, I think for many of the groups, but it's a highlight of the year, knowing that they're going to have this time where they get to be away. It's obviously a wonderful time for their parents and caregivers to have a bit of time of respite, knowing that their loved ones are having fun and being well taken care of. But yes, so we have a lot of repeats, but we also have new people joining all of the time. We found that over the last few years, it's become a lot of word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And so, once somebody's been, they tell their friends and they tell their friends. And so it is growing. I think that I think we can grow in such a bigger way. Obviously, it all comes down to resources and time and all of that, just in terms of being able to really market what we're doing. Because a lot of the time we're working with the organizations and the people that we already know.
Mm.
But there are so many people living with disabilities in South Africa, and we'd love to reach more of them.
Most of them are independent. They're able to get around the house or go to town or do a lot of things personally for themselves. And you get those ones that are always receiving help or assistance from the people around them and family. What happens when you have to now take them out of the house into Higher Ground or to a holiday, so to say? Are there people that are assisting those who are attending these camps?
Yes, absolutely. So I'd say the backbone of how we run our camps is with our volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
So we have amazing men and women, students, working people who take time out to use their leave to come and help us, and they really are what make our camps what they are. They are there to assist the people who need assistance with personal care, with getting around. If there's somebody who just has personal care needs or needs assistance in many different ways, then our volunteers are there to help them. They do a lot else they do a lot of other things other than just helping people with their personal care needs, but they are there for those people that can't function outside of their home without somebody assisting them.
Mm. Is there any training that happens just beforehand as you are heading up to the camps?
Yes. So what we do is we bring our volunteers the day before and we give them some training. Obviously, every person is different and their needs are different, and so it's difficult to train people specifically for... A lot of it is hands-on learning. And what we've found is actually generally our volunteers are people who've very often never worked with somebody with a disability before.
Yes.
But what we look for is people with the right heart. And so I think if you've got people who love people and who just want to impact people's lives, they come with the right heart, and then they learn so quickly. Obviously, the people that they're working with can also guide them and say, this is what I need, or... so it's a lot of hands-on learning, I would say.
Mm. Have you personally worked with a person that's living with a disability, perhaps in a home environment or at work now?
Do you mean me personally?
Yeah.
Yes, I have. Prior to starting Higher Ground, I worked with a couple of people with acquired brain injuries, just assisting them with their daily living, not as a carer, but just as a facilitator. Just assisting them for a couple of hours a day, just trying to sort of organize their lives.
Mm. And currently?
No, not at the moment. So Higher Ground, just Higher Ground, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Because I was asking because I was hoping you'd bring in the fact that your husband was somebody who's living with the disabilities, but we can sort of tell from how you answer that he's independent.
Yeah, absolutely. My husband is blind, as you say, he's independent. He's off at work at the moment.
Yes.
That didn't occur to me when you asked that question.
Yes,
just because, as you say, he is independent and gets on with his stuff. Yeah.
Yes. Getting to the activities now that happen at Higher Ground, what are the fun activities that are actually happening there when the people are already there now?
Yeah, we have all sorts, and it obviously we try and change it up a bit, and it depends also on the group that we're working with. But we do everything from, as I mentioned earlier, where we can, we'll go and do boating or canoeing. We do music, we do drama, we do talent shows and campfires. What else do we do? We do crafts and board games, and on our holiday for people who are blind and partially sighted, we usually pick a really awesome book and we'll read that just chapter by chapter during the duration of the time. So we have a very varied program, including a combination of things that are very active, challenging, adventurous, but also relaxing. And not everybody wants to come and, you know, hop into a canoe. A large part of what people obviously want to do is meet new people and socialize. And so we try and create a lot of opportunities for that, be it sitting around the dining table together, enjoying a lovely meal, going on a walk, swimming, whatever it might be. There's so many opportunities just for people to connect, to network, to share ideas around how they cope with their disability.
And of course, we are still chatting with Emma here. If you just joined us, I'm just thinking about that would happen at a camp, of course, and the many things that perhaps a person would be interested in. If you are thinking that you'd like to perhaps be a part of this, there's an upcoming camp that Emma is going to tell us more about. Where is it? The details, please.
Okay, so our upcoming camp is specifically for adults who are blind or partially sighted. It's taking place in Hilton, just close to Pietermaritzburg here in KwaZulu-Natal. It's taking place from the 18th of April to the 23rd of April. It's a lovely old historical guest house that we're using. Very, very comfortable, lovely accommodation. And we've got a wonderful program planned, including horse riding and some live music and, a whole lot of fun planned.
There is, of course, the issue of how many people you have to take. Do you sort of set up a number, a maximum of the number of people you have to take because of the resources, so that you're able to assist them accordingly?
We do. One of the reasons that we try not to let our numbers get too big is because we feel that people get to know each other better in a bit of a smaller environment. So we don't have huge groups, but depending on our main constraint is the amount of space in the venue. So for example, at our next one we've got a maximum of about 25 people that we can accommodate. Obviously our volunteers and everybody on top of that. But yes, so we do limit the number of people that can come. But as I say, largely because a smaller group of people, I think, can become a lot more just a bit of a family, just getting to know each other really well.
And of course, as far as preparations are concerned, you've just sort of gave us a picture of a lot of things that are happening at the moment. And we did mention in the beginning of the interview that we are sitting at Emma's house, and there's our colleagues that are sitting here with us, and as well your colleague that is here who's a volunteer. Tell us about now the preparations as we are heading to the Easter weekend. What are you doing at the moment, and what are you up to at the moment? Are there people that have signed up already and are coming through?
Yes, we're close to being full, though we do still have some spaces, so we're very keen for anybody else who would like to join us. A lot of what I'm busy with still at the moment is fundraising. Seems to be what I'm always busy with. But then obviously just finalizing all the different aspects, the sort of off-site activities that we're going to be doing, and finalizing our volunteers. We've got a wonderful group of people. So there's a lot of the nitty-gritty, just finalizing things there, and just making sure that we have a really awesome program planned, great food, and just making sure that everything's going to run really smoothly.
All of those things come at a cost, of course, and you did mention that you are currently fundraising. How do you cover all the costs? I mean, there's accommodation, there's transport, and as well there's food.
Yeah, so I mean, obviously it is expensive. We obviously have some people that can afford to pay for themselves, but we have many people who can't, and we never want that to be a thing that stops somebody from coming to Higher Ground. And so we do spend quite a lot of time trying to raise individual sponsorships. So we have sometimes a Rotary Club will sponsor somebody, sometimes an individual. We're always trying to find new and creative ways of raising the money that we need.
Before we wrap up the chat we're having, and I also have a personal story of mine. I think I met the Lord, and then throughout the years I've been following up my journey in Christ through Higher Ground. What sort of spiritual message, or should I say, for the spirit person now, what is it for them in these camps?
Well, I would say, I suppose there's two different groups of people that come on our camps. Mm. There are people who already know the Lord and there are people who don't. And I think that for people who already do, it's a wonderful time of just being able to come and be encouraged to meet with other Christians. And we find that that is extremely valuable. We obviously also have all sorts of different people joining us and people who don't know the Lord.
Yeah.
And so we are quite intentional. That obviously is something that we want. You know, we want an opportunity to share Jesus with our campers.
Mm.
And so we, in the mornings, we get together, we have a connect time, it might be somebody sharing their story, and maybe having some worship together. So that's obviously a very intentional time. But we also believe that so much happens just through relationships.
Yes.
And so
yes.
Most of our volunteers are believers, and we believe that sitting around the dining table or whatever it might be, there are so many opportunities to share our stories. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Emma, thank you very much for time. So we're just getting to the details now for somebody that's listening and they're interested, they want to come through. Necessary details for them to get to sign up and come through, and the costs as well of being a part of this this camp. How long will it be for, so?
So it's from the 18th to the 23rd of April. It's 5 days
mm-hmm.
or 5 nights. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how much does it cost per person?
It costs 2,700 rand per person, mm-hmm. and that covers their food, their accommodation, and their activities while they're with us.
Mm. Any contact details in closing?
Yes. People can either give me a call on 072-1414-408, or they can email highergroundsa@gmail.com. That's higher, highergroundsa@gmail.com.
Mm. Emma, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been wonderful to chat to you.